Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This is MPB News.
Hi, this is Karen Brown. Thanks for checking out the Mississippi Edition podcast. If you like what you hear, click subscribe, hit like, or leave us a comment if your app has that feature. Then find other MPB podcasts by searching MPB Think Radio on your favorite podcasting platform. Thanks.
And the Get to College program, offering Mississippi families free college planning advice, including hands-on FAFSA completion assistance to Mississippi students of all ages. More at gettocollege.org.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Friday, February 5th. I'm Karen Brown, and this is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show...
Shame on you, because there are people that really need the vaccine, and you should wait until it is your turn.
Mississippi's vaccine rollout is drawing attention from neighboring states as outside residents cross state lines to get shots. And the mayor of the capital city institutes a curfew in an attempt to curb crime. Then we examine how Mississippi's Hispanic communities have withstood the coronavirus pandemic. Plus, the Senate passes a teacher loan repayment program. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. State health officials are adding new drive-through vaccine appointments weekly, trying to meet a growing demand for coronavirus inoculations. Residents 65 and older, as well as residents 16 and older with underlying health conditions, are eligible. Those qualifications also extend to those who live outside the state but work in Mississippi. Now, health officials in Mississippi are concerned about a growing number of out-of-state residents coming into the state to get the vaccine. The state does not require identification to get the shots. Mississippi has a limited number of doses that are dedicated to those qualifying residents and out-of-state workers. Liz Charlotte, spokesperson with the Department of Health, shares more with our Kobe Vance.
Dr. Dobbs, our state health officer, made a statement at the beginning of this that we would not put up any barriers to anyone who lived in Mississippi or worked in Mississippi as long as they met the eligibility requirements. So if you are, 18 to 64 with chronic conditions, older than 65, if you qualify, if you're a frontline health worker, then we don't ask you to prove anything. So that is because our state health officer wanted to ensure that all Mississippians, all people who live in Mississippi and are eligible, can receive a vaccine. So we have had about 5,337 at the last count, people from out of state. But we do have people from out of state that do work in Mississippi. We have people from Louisiana and Tennessee and Alabama, surrounding states. So we hope people will do the right thing, and that's what our system is set up on. Dr. Dobbs said at a press conference a few weeks ago, shame on you if you abuse the system. Shame on you. Shame on you, because there are people that really need the vaccine, and you should wait until it is your turn, whether you live here or in Alabama or in Mississippi. But if you work in Mississippi, live somewhere else, but work in Mississippi, you can get the vaccine if you're eligible. And if you live in Mississippi, you can get the vaccine if you're eligible. So we're trying to do the best we can to impact all of those that either live or work in Mississippi and minimizing the transmission of this disease.
I saw the email y'all sent out earlier about how people will be scheduling their second appointments. with that, will the website still be up just so there's not confusion? If people have just gotten their vaccine recently, could they still go on the website to schedule their second dose, or do they need to get that email?
As of the time that the press release went out, second doses were taken off the scheduler, okay? So there's no way on the scheduler, and there is a message on the scheduler. We are doing this system to make it hopefully more convenient and less confusing. So right now, if you get your first dose today, you will receive an email with instructions on how to go about getting your second dose. And second doses should be much easier to obtain than the first doses. And we know there is such a great demand out there, and our supply is limited, and we only have so many available appointments. And so that's why we really have to ask people to please be righteous. And if you don't fall in one of the groups, please don't schedule an appointment.
You know, you mentioned 5,000, about 5,000 people from out of state that may be working in Mississippi. Do you think that the number of people that are coming from out of state to Mississippi that don't work in Mississippi is a big drop in the bucket?
I have no way of knowing that because we don't ask for any identification. If you come in and say you have a chronic disease, we don't say prove it. If you say you work in Mississippi but live in Louisiana, we don't say prove it. That's not what our system is set up on. It's set up on a trust system, and our goal is to prevent the spread of disease for anyone who lives in Mississippi or works in Mississippi when they qualify. And I really think if people would be righteous and follow the rules, we would be in better shape.
Liz Sharland is a spokesperson for the Mississippi Department of Health. Coming up, the mayor of the capital city institutes a curfew in an attempt to curb crime. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
This podcast is a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting and depends on the support of listeners like you. If you can, please donate today at mpbonline.org. And thanks.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Karen Brown. The mayor of Mississippi's capital city is issuing a curfew in an effort to curb crime. Jackson Mayor Chokwe Antar-Lumumba announced a proclamation of civil emergency yesterday that places a curfew on residents under the age of 18 from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Lumumba says the city's youth are engaging criminal activity because the pandemic has stripped them of the social structures they typically rely on, rendering them vulnerable.
As we know, as we've been dealing with the pandemic, many of the social structures that our young people depend on have rendered them vulnerable at this time. Those are the social structures that they normally thrive under, and we have not been able to extend those social structures to them. And we have far too often found many of our young people in unorganized capacities and at a higher risk than most residents. And so I believe that we have to do everything that we can to protect the health and safety of our residents and in order to work in their welfare. The civil emergency was recognizing the conditions in which we believe provide for a extraordinary circumstance. And the curfew can only be issued after a civil emergency is extended. And so we do not believe that this is the panacea. We do not believe that this is the sole means by which, some of the more violent crimes that we have seen, some of the burglaries that we have seen may reduce. And we do not put all of crime at the foot of our young people. But we do think that this is part and parcel of a multifaceted approach in which we'd like to see an effort go forward that protects our young people and protects our residents at large.
The mayor cited a recent wave of criminal activity involving the city's youth as the impetus for this proclamation.
There have been a number of instances, as I mentioned, where we've understood that there's been participation in certain burglaries, and it has been the report of the police department that there have been some younger actors involved. And we've seen an increase in their involvement in some of the nefarious activities. We've seen a number of young people killed. The events of last week, while it would not have been within the time frame of the curfew, we have witnessed the homicides of many of our youngest residents within recent months. And so, as I said, this is sincerely an effort for their protection.
Lumumba says the curfew, which began yesterday and extends for 5 days, will be enforced through existing juvenile delinquency statutes.
The penalties are going to be in accord with the Mississippi Youth Court statutes under the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Act, Prevention Act. So the normal manner in which juvenile delinquency is adjudicated and the proper authorities and court systems that deal with delinquency of minors will have jurisdiction over any violations. And we will be looking for the support of our law enforcement, as well as it has been indicated by some of the leadership over at the Hinds County Board of Supervisors that they're going to try to engage the Sheriff's Department as well. And so this is not in an effort to, one, criminalize our young people, nor is it in an effort to, you know, put the issues of crime solely at their feet, but it is an effort to protect them. We are trying to protect our young people and also extend the protection of the health and welfare of our residents by and large.
Shokwe Antar-Lumumba is the mayor of Jackson. Coming up, we examine how Mississippi's Hispanic communities have withstood the coronavirus pandemic. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
If you ever miss one of our locally produced shows or want to simply hear it again, you can find what you need at mpbonline.org or download our podcast app to your smartphone. MPB programming is on your schedule at mpbonline.org.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Karen Brown. Hispanic residents account for over 3% of COVID-19 cases in Mississippi and 1% of related deaths. Advocates say some in the Hispanic community cannot afford health insurance and avoid immediate care, placing them at higher risk of severe outcomes from the coronavirus. Now, with the state ramping up vaccine distribution, many in Mississippi's Hispanic and immigrant communities are wary of getting their shots. Only 1% of Mississippians who have received a coronavirus vaccine identify as Hispanic. That's according to state health officials. Louis Espinoza is with the Mississippi Immigrants' Rights Alliance. He shares more about the Hispanic community's pandemic experience and its members' reluctance toward the vaccine with our Kobe Vance.
We have to remember the Hispanic community. They has been working, especially in the chicken plants, for many years, but they don't have any kind of, most of the people, they don't have insurance. So at the moment they start to have problems with the pandemic, many of the families, they have been sick and they have no way to get medical assistance. So they suffer, many times they suffer just getting together in houses and just try to survive.
When it comes to that, is that leading to what, more severe health outcomes when people aren't seeking that medical attention?
Yeah, yes.
How are people seeing the pandemic in their communities? What is their perception of it? Is this something that has been just devastating over the past few months?
Yes. Yeah. It was not completely devastating, but because you have to remember all those families, they can hear and they take a lot of risk coming here just because they want to have a better life. They want to have better future for the kids, for the family. So what happened is just one more thing they have to deal with, and let's keep moving, let's keep working. So yes, sometimes they had a problem because, like I said, I remember, I know many cases where they have to go to see if they didn't know anything to start, like everybody asked about the COVID. So they feel sick. Maybe they have a flu. They think maybe they have just a small, something small. But when they start to feel more sick, so then decide to go and see if they have the COVID, because they start to listen about the COVID. But the problem they had is because they went to the clinics around the towns where they live, and the clinics charge a lot of money. Just to, it's not only, okay, I want to have it, because when everything starts, the clinics, they not only try to give the test, but they go first to have a medical examine. So the bills sometimes go $500 and up. So it was really economically for the families was really bad, because they had to pay that because they don't have insurance. They don't have any kind of to cover that money from any kind of insurance.
How has the vaccine been received in the Hispanic community here in Mississippi?
We are working on because there is in every language is so many different ideas, theories about not. Now they are going to control us. They are going to know where I live. So most of the community, the people in the community, they try to just go in, low way. So they don't want to show up everywhere, because what they want is just work and keep raising the kids. So no, and they don't know too much about right now about the vaccine. We has been last week we had a Zoom with the health department trying to explain the community about the vaccine and how it's going to work. Next week we have another one with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Dobbs. So they really are working, trying to reach the community and trying to explain about how important it is to everybody get the vaccine. And we try to explain them person to person. That's what I am doing, explain them when I have the opportunity and I have meetings with the people in different cities. We have to do that. Actually, the next week I'm going to have I'm going to have the vaccine, and I'm going to make a short video to put in our pages so they know me. So I hope that is going to help them to also many of the persons feel comfort, because we are doing that too.
Louis Espinoza is with the Mississippi Immigrants Rights Alliance. Coming up, the Senate passes a teacher loan repayment program. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hey, this is Larry Morrissey with the Mississippi Arts Commission. I'm one of the hosts of the Mississippi Arts Hour, the arts interview show on Think Radio. We talk with visual artists, musicians, writers, as well as people who help bring the arts to their communities. We hear about how each artist learned their craft and get some insight into their creative process. You can hear the Arts Hour every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Think Radio. Or listen anytime by subscribing to the show through your favorite podcasting app.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Karen Brown. a college loan repayment program designed to attract graduates to teach in Mississippi schools is on the way to the House after passing the Senate yesterday. The three-year program would provide money annually to pay down the teacher's student loan debt. Democratic Senator David Blunt of Jackson says the repayment would be more effective than the handful of loan forgiveness programs already on the books.
The loan forgiveness programs are inefficient and in some cases have default rates. They vary from program to program. So what we are attempting to do today is consolidate all of those existing programs into a single loan repayment program. Now, what's the difference between a loan repayment program and a loan forgiveness program? A loan forgiveness program is something that you sign up for while you're in college. And you get the money to go to college, and you agree to go teach in a Mississippi public school, and if you do that, your loan is forgiven. But what happens, of course, is people's plans change. Maybe they choose not to go into the teaching profession. Maybe they move to another state. Maybe they teach for a year and decide they don't want to teach anymore. And then that loan is outstanding, and the state essentially has to become a collections agency to go get its money back. A loan repayment program doesn't have a default rate. The default rate is zero. A loan repayment program works like this. You graduate from college, and this is a staggering statistic. The average Mississippi college student loan debt is between $35,000 and $37,000. So most Mississippians graduate from college with significant student loans. Then we say to those young people graduating from college, if you agree to come teach in a Mississippi school, we will pay down your student loan debt. And then the teacher or the person enters the teaching profession, they teach. At the end of the year, they go to the Office of Financial Aid with a piece of paper. It says, I taught. The state of Mississippi writes a check to that loan provider, and the principal on that loan is reduced by that amount. That's the way a loan repayment program works.
Under the program, all public school districts in the state would qualify. In all, teachers in a school district not designated as a critical needs shortage area could receive up to $10,500. Teachers in districts designated as critical needs shortage areas could receive up to $16,500. Republican Chris McDaniel inquired about the overall cost of the program and how much total student debt the bill intends to provide.
If 80% of the teachers go into a non-critical needs district and 20% go into a critical needs district, and I don't have any way of knowing, that's just a number I made up, then you're talking about $3.9 million first year.
$3.9,
yes, sir.
That will be each year. And that money's coming from the general appropriations?
Yes.
Is the idea to pay back the entirety of these teachers' loans over time? Is that the idea?
No, it's not. Under what we're proposing, and again, these numbers are subject to change, if you go to a non-critical needs shortage district and become a teacher, your total award, the amount that goes to pay down to your college loans would be $10,500. So if you graduate with the average amount of college student debt in Mississippi and you owe $35,000, you still owe $25,000, but we would have paid down $10,500 of your loan.
Another education bill authored by Education Chairman Dennis DeBar passed the Senate yesterday. It requires the State Department of Education to issue a Mississippi license to any teacher who has a valid out-of-state license within 14 days of receipt of the application. Teachers receiving reciprocity would still be subject to a background check before being hired by a district under a separate statute. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Edition podcast from MPB News and MPB Think Radio. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, and if your app lets you, leave a comment or review. We really do appreciate it. Remember, you can always get in touch with MPB News on Facebook and Twitter, and fresh episodes of the podcast are posted every weekday morning. I'm Karen Brown. Thanks for listening. This is Mississippi Edition from MPB Think Radio.